like recording it now. Look, see, it's recording the audio.
Now I think the 2 clocks have been mostly. Oh no, there's still a minute off.
It's the engineering building, right?
Next talk in the morning, or last talk in the morning, is William Stein from Seattle. I'm going to talk about SAGE.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So I'm actually not going to talk about building cars, but there's a nice quote that somebody sent an email to the SAGE mailing list recently, which is that every pre-computer algebra system I've tried has reinvented many times the wheel without being able to build the car. And this was a somewhat frustrated Italian person named Tiziano, and this is his main contribution to SAGE, which is that he's come up with a nice quote that does actually nicely describe SAGE. Despite any rules to the contrary, if you feel like pulling out your laptop and typing during my talk, please do. In particular, the slides for this talk are on my website, so if you want to pull out your laptop and look at them, I strongly encourage you to. You just type William Stein into Google, it's the first hit, and then click on Talks, and you'll see that this is the first talk listed. And also, definitely ask questions during the talk, because I'm sure there won't be time at the end, because you'll want to go off to lunch. So I'll start the talk. I'm going to read a quote. This isn't my own. It's a quote of Joachim Nabucer, and it's as follows. You can read Seelos' theorem and its proof in Hubert's book in the library. Then you can use Seelos' theorem for the rest of your life, free of charge. But for many computer algebra systems, license fees have to be paid regularly. You press buttons and you get answers in the same way as you get the bright pictures from your television set, but you cannot control how they are made in either case. With this situation, two of the most basic rules of conduct in mathematics are violated. In mathematics, information is passed on free of charge and everything is laid open for the checking. Not applying these rules to computer algebra systems that are made for mathematical research means moving in a most undesirable direction. Most important, can we expect somebody to believe a result of a program that he is not allowed to see? Moreover, do we really want to charge colleagues in Moldova several years of their salary for a computer algebra system? So this was written by Joachim Nabucer in 1993. He's the guy that started GAP. And it's about 20 years later, and at least in my research area, which is number theory, the situation is that almost everybody implements algorithms in a computer algebra system that you have to pay license fees for regularly, and that people in Moldova couldn't possibly afford. So, I mean, I don't know if Moldova exists anymore, but there are analogs of Moldova, like Bogota, Colombia. So, The quote, if you kind of step forward 20 years, at least in my research area, suggests a problem, and the problem is to create a unified, free, open-source piece of mathematics software that's powerful and easy to use. And SAGE, which is what I'm going to describe for you during the rest of this talk, addresses this problem. And really, I'm going to talk a lot about the development model of SAGE, not just the underlying technology,
And one of the developers described it as emphasize having a strong emphasis on openness, community, collaboration, and cooperation.
And I'll explain to you how that is the case.
So first, who's writing Sage? First, I'm a number theorist, not an algebraic geometer. But though I'd initially viewed Sage as being mainly for number theory, at least for a few days, it's really not. It's aimed at algebra, geometry, and of course number theory, algebraic geometry. It includes singular as part of the core of Sage. Numerical analysis, statistics, and so on. So it's really targeted at an extremely wide area. And some of the contributors to Sage are listed here. There's a very wide range of people here. In fact, I think seven of the people listed here are undergraduates. Some are applied mathematicians. Others work in industry. One of the guys listed right here, Justin Walker, was one of the people that wrote OS10. He's retired, and he spent a lot of time working on Sage. A very, very unusual group of people to be working together on a computer algebra system. So the development model is a lot different than, say, Macaulay 2, where it's two mathematicians. For example, there are these seven undergraduates, many of which I employ in various ways using startup money or grant money or bigger money, and they have very unusual ideas. For example, graphics and a GUI interface, that's something that's extremely important to undergrads, probably more important than any of, to them than to any of you. Moreover, undergrads have, they're more receptive often to new ideas.
Or just, they're very aware of how to use things in ways that some other people might miss.
So they have a lot of extremely interesting ideas. Graduate students, there are a lot of grad students there also, and they seem to be extremely good at optimizing code. They're very competitive, and they're extremely excited if they can make the fastest implementation of something. It's really a completely different skill set or interest than undergrads, typically. And, of course, there's us. We're really good at direction, quality. We can write. Everybody here knows how to write papers, for example. Yes?
Can you tell us or give us pointers as to how you do your quality control?
First, it'll become more apparent as I give the talk, but in Sage, all of the new code has lots and lots and lots of examples. So there are something like almost 10,000 input examples right now. All these examples are regularly tested, and it's verified their output exactly agrees with the claimed output. So that's one form of quality control. Editing is a form of quality control. When I get code from anybody, I read through it, make lots of changes, possibly push it back to them, have other people read it. I make sure the code's readable. Third, there's just general taste. For example, if I'm not an expert in numerical computation, I'm not going to try to include some numerical package until I've talked to people in applied math and so on to make sure it's really something that's worth doing. So, the definitive answer on quality is to read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Just to give you a sense of Sage development, I'll just change to my inbox, which I hope you can see. This is from the last, from 2:40 a.m. this morning until now. And unfortunately, I don't know how visible this is, but I'll just click through the emails and tell you what they say. So the first one's from John Cremona, who's a big number theorist who's written a lot of software, telling me that Lydia, which is a C++ library for number theory, has just been GPL'd. And you probably won't have any interest, but it's been GPL'd. And then I wrote back and said that I am interested. Who knows? David Joyner, he's been researching all kinds of accounting issues regarding setting up a not-for-profit foundation that will make it easier to fund Sage development and organize how money can come in and go out of Sage. Martin Albrecht read the notes for this talk and gave me found a typo. This guy he's a differential geometer, and he's been investigating 3D visualization plugins for Sage, or tools that we can use for 3D visualization, because that's something that's very much desired by people in the applied math department at UW. And he's basically explaining what he's found. And this guy, Gary Zablakis, is a high school teacher who also was a professional Windows programmer, and he creates all the Windows binaries for Sage, and he's making the way Sage runs under Windows is it starts up a copy of Co-Linux, and then Co-Linux provides a web server, and you use Sage via that web server. And he's trying to make it so that there's a completely automated interface to doing all of that. Here's an email from David Harvey. He's one of the wants to write things very, very quickly grad students from Harvard. He's working a huge amount on Sage. And
He gave me a patch that's supposed to do some really cool neat stuff to greatly speed up deciding how to do arithmetic, and I noticed some subtle issue that makes it not work in some cases. So he's just acknowledging that, and then
A few more emails, he has basically a solution. Mike Rubenstein's Waterloo, he has some ideas about building certain components of Sage. This one's interesting. It's Bill Hart, he's an Australian, I think from Sydney, and he's trying to figure out why Magma is so much faster than NTL at certain calculations. Here's Alan Steele explaining that Magma is so much faster, and if you want to see why, you can look at a certain document. But the document just says what algorithms are used in some very high level. Alan Steele is one of the authors of Magma. So just giving you kind of a quick overview. And Bill Hart happened to find the same thing that Ellen pointed out. Okay, so that's just showing there are a bunch of people all over the world working on Sage development. Bill Hart's in England, and so on. Yes? NTL stands for Number Theory Library. It's a C++ library. It's very mature, and it was written by Victor Shoup. And it's included as a component of Sage. Sure.
Here's a picture of the Sage Days 2 coding sprints. Sage Days 2 is a workshop I organized at UW about 2 weeks ago, and there are about 35 people there. And these are just a bunch of people working during the coding sprint. So, for example, Bobby is an undergraduate at UW. He's extremely good at anything related to Linux. But he just took a course in group theory, and he wants to illustrate everything he's doing in that course using Sage, so he's making code that draws beautiful multiplication tables using Sage graphics and so on. This guy's a grad student who's really into graph theory. He and Bobby and another student spent about 2 weeks making this massive survey of every piece of software related to graph theory they could find. So it's like 100 pages long or something, just so they could figure out what's the best. David Harvey, I just mentioned before, Joe Mulder. Bill Page is one of the two main Axiom developers, if you know about the computer algebra system Axiom. And David Joyner is one of the main Sage developers. He's a coding theorist. So they're all kind of working together on various projects. All right, how do you get started with Sage? First, the quickest way to start using Sage is to take any computer that's connected to the internet and any web browser except Internet Explorer, and
why did you make that choice?
Internet Explorer is very bizarre in the way it supports certain things. Maybe the new version will be better. And point your web browser at that web page.
Is that a serious statement? Really doesn't work with Internet Explorer?
Yes. Yeah. Internet Explorer handles AJAX stuff completely differently than everything else. And consequently, it's very hard to support for some of the things we want to do. So I'll just show you the website that, assuming I have an internet connection that's working. So here's the Sage website.
And it has four big links: download, documentation, mailing lists, and components. And it's pretty friendly. There's a Google search in the upper right of the web page. And it looks like I'm not online for some reason. It's annoying. I need to be on IMA. I'm on the wrong network. It's very important that I'm online. Okay, it looks like it's... there we are. Okay, so if you go to that website, you get this web page. And what this web page is, it's a graphical user interface for doing mathematics. You can use a lot of different programs via this web page. And this particular worksheet's locked, so I'll make a new worksheet for right now that's not locked. I'll call it IMA. You can go down and find the IMA worksheet that I just created. And there it is. And you can just start using Sage. Woo! So Sage can do something. But it can also draw plots. Like, you can draw a plot of the elliptic curve with Cremona label 37A if you want. So what happens is it's getting sent to a server at University of Washington. It's a nice machine with 16 cores and 64 gigs of memory. This whole thing is running in a change root environment for security. Over there, it drew this picture, and then the picture came back to the web server.
And this is a whole GUI. It's actually pretty nice. You can insert cells between previous cells. You can define variables. One nice thing is that when you define a variable, it appears over here. You have a list of all variables and their types. It's updated on a regular basis. And you can, of course, go back and edit things you've already entered. And I'll show you some more examples of it a little bit later in the talk. Let's see. I'll show you a little more of the Sage website, which, by the way, you can get to it by typing Sage Math, for example, into Google. Unfortunately, Sage is too popular of a word, so you can't get it from just that. But if you type Sage Math, you'll get there. Actually, unfortunately, you get the Sage Wiki, but there's a link to Sage at the top of that right here. Okay, so some other things in here. There's the documentation. There are four main pieces of documentation: a tutorial, a reference manual, an installation guide, and a programming guide. And just for example, here's the reference manual. It's about 1,400 pages now, I think, with the index. It's getting very big. But you can see, for example, section 24.1. Let me zoom in a little. So we go down to section 24.1. It has Grubner fans. So you can click there, and you'll find that Sage includes GFAN standard, and GFAN, here are some examples that use GFAN behind the scenes.
So this creates a ring. Often the syntax is similar to Magma in Sage, but the language that Sage uses is Python, a completely mainstream language. So instead of having all kinds of weird surprises that in the notation, word operators that were made up by mathematicians, you have some surprises, but at least they're made up by computer scientists. And also Python development's a little different. Python, when people add new features to Python, they write a PEP, which is this Python enhancement proposal. So they have to write up a whole document. It gets looked at by a lot of people, and people argue about it for months, and then finally a decision's made by one particular person. But the development of Python is pretty open, and that's what Sage uses behind the scenes. And there's sort of, it's kind of nice to make a computer algebra system that uses a mainstream language, because when people want to learn a language, instead of you having to write the documentation to explain it, you just say, go to the bookstore, and then there's lots of books there. Also, the language is constantly being optimized and improved, and it's used in a massive range of situations. It's used for, what's a good example? Python is extremely widely deployed. For example, Google uses it. It's their number three language, and they employ the main author of Python. So it's a very widely deployed language. It works. You can do a lot more than just mathematics with it. In fact, until Sage, you couldn't really do much mathematics with it. But you can do networking, you can do video games, whatever. So in this example, I make a polynomial ring, and I make an ideal in that ring, and I ask for the corresponding Grubner fan, and I didn't get anything further, but these are some methods that you can call. Yes?
Can you tell us what is happening in Python syntactically and semantically on the first line of code?
Yes, the first line of code is not valid Python because of this dot thing. Whenever you put r dot something in Python, you have to put an identifier. In Sage, there is a very, very limited amount of pre-parsing that's done each input line before it's fed to Python, just because there are a few annoying things about Python.
For example, let me just open a terminal and type Python. And this just brings up, here's Python. If I type 1/3, let me make sure it's this big so you can see it. What do you think I'm going to get?
Zero.
And that could potentially be confusing to your typical freshman or to you. So that's kind of bad.
But at least it was designed by computer science.
I went to a talk that Guido van Rosen, the designer of Python, gave at SciFi recently, and they are planning to change this, and they consider it a complete mistake to have defined 1/3 like this. Their amazing solution is that 1/3 will be 0.666666, which I don't consider to be much better, but in Sage, what happens is, So 1/3 will get, so 1/3 is 1/3. Its type is a rational number. Its parent is that. And what really happens is that line gets pre-parsed as follows. It gets replaced by that.
So integer literals are replaced by integer of that. You can define integer to be whatever you want. If you wanted the old behavior, for example, you could just write integer equals int. Oops, that's a typo.
Int, and then 1/3 would be 0 again.
So, and if you have your own integers, you can also do that. So that's one thing. Another thing is that there's a special notation for
constructing an object with generators similar to what's in Magma. Since so if I do this, or well, I can also do this, then
it gets replaced by do the assignment and then set the names equal to that, and then set those variables in the scope that you're in.
Okay. All right, any other questions? By the way, Sage has both a graphical user interface, a very, very nice command line. The command line is called IPython. It's a project of an applied mathematician and some other people. It's pretty amazing. It's under very active development, but it has a 70-page user's guide, and it's extraordinarily customizable. That's what we're using here. It has a really, really nice feature, namely that if you exit the command line and then come back into it, then it remembers your history from before. And you can also search, like if you want to find all lines that begin with polymake, you can do that. By the way, polymake's also a Sage component, so you can, if you do like polytopes type stuff, you can make a polymake object and then ask, let's say I want the vertices, so you can do that. By the way, so here, let me just go back. So C is a cube in polymake, and if I say C.tab, it gives me all the functions that I can call on C. That's another nice feature of IPython. So, for example, facets is another function. So you can just do that, and you get out the facets. So Sage has a command line like this, which is inherited from, or which is really written by Fernando Perez, which is called IPython. It has this graphical user interface I showed you a minute ago, and it also has an Emacs mode, which isn't as sophisticated as the Macaulay 2 one, but it's still nice. Okay, so that's the reference manual. There's a lot of other things. Sage is kind of a home, at least.
So remember there was some L functions thing a few minutes ago. Here are some programs, probably three of the best programs for computing information about L functions, which are very important in number theory, and they're all included standard in Sage, and you can use them from the interpreter without having to know anything about building them or their interfaces, which is kind of nice.
There's a lot of other functionality here. There's an installation guide. There's a tutorial which you should be able to just sit down with, work through in about 2 to 3 hours. I've timed people. And it's been read through a lot, so it shouldn't be completely, it shouldn't have mistakes. Let's see. Other things on the webpage. There's a wiki, so if you want to immediately start contributing stuff to Sage, you can look at this wiki. There's a lot of stuff here. Wikis are kind of nice because you can look at, for example, recent changes and see what's been edited recently. So, for example, I don't know, someone changed something in the developer's room, which is where we, basically it's an informal way that we track what's going on with Sage development. So there are a whole bunch of different teams. There's the core arithmetic team, and probably they just figured out something and added something here. There's the making Sage releases team, namely me. There's interfaces team. I guess this stuff's done. So, for example, this Axiom stuff is, this integrating is done. Axiom now has an interface from Sage. So I can just go to the link that says edit. I'm showing you how to use a wiki, which probably you all know already, but I can go down where it says, somewhere in here it said, yeah, interfaces, so I can write done. I don't know, let's put done here. And then there's now a MATLAB interface also, so it's done. And then save changes, and then it gets updated. And now it says done. So it's a really easy way for lots of people to kind of work together. This has turned out to be very, very useful. For example, the graph thing that I was describing, you just search the titles of pages, you'll find it quickly, graph. So survey of existing software, the students that were working on this together were able to put everything into this wiki and easily collaborate without having to send files via email and stuff. So, okay, so that's one of the key things of Sage is this wiki. So I'm telling you a lot about cultural development type things rather than actual math software. There's also a nice, very nice code browser. I'll show you a demo of this. So you can go, for example, to the interfaces directory, and in here there's the Macaulay 2 interface. I'll use Macaulay 2 as an example a lot, given that there was a talk on it just minutes ago. And this gives you the source code. And there are a number of fun things you can do. And this browser of the source code, along with the revision history of all the source code, is included standard in Sage. Anybody who gets Sage gets the revision control system and the entire revision history. So anybody who has Sage is completely set up to be a Sage developer instantly. So for example, if you click on revisions, you get a list of each revision that affected this file. So for example, added CPU time and version. So if you look at that revision, you can look at, just click there and you see it, and then you see a nice colored diff which explains what it is. And this addition of the CPU time, this is something that I think one of the Sage developers wanted to know the elapsed CPU time when benchmarking Macaulay 2 against other systems. And so he asked Dan, and then Dan implemented it, sent us a new version of Macaulay 2, and then the developer stuck it in here.
The developer would be Martin Albrecht. So there's source code browsing. Oh, also you can click on annotate, which is fun. It gives you the file and who wrote each line of the file. So you can see who was the last person to modify a given line.
The one annoying thing, though, is that Gonzalo Tornario is the first one to get Sage into a revision control system. Therefore, he's listed as the initial author of List of Sage, even though it's all stuff I wrote.
That's
okay. Yeah. But also the author of all the blank lines.
Yeah, very hard stuff. But it's nice, you can click here and you can see what all the changes were that were part of that change set and so on. So this is just an ad for modern revision control systems. The revision control system Sage uses is called Mercurial. It's a very, very robust distributed revision control system. And it was started in response to the debacle with the Linux kernel using something called BitTorrent. But it's called Mercurial. It's been around since May of 2005, but it's really pretty good. Okay, so let's see, anything else? I'll show you the download link really quickly. You can click here to get the source code for Sage. See where it says Sage 1412. It's a tarball. What happens is you download the tarball, and as I'll show you in the next, I'm going to skip forward a little, right here.
If you want to install Sage from source, you download the tarball. You extract the tarball, you cd into the directory, and you type make. And on OS X and Linux, a lot of different Linux systems, it's tested pretty widely by a lot of people. After between basically 30 minutes and infinity, you get Sage. So then you cd into the directory, and then you type .sage, and there you are. It builds completely self-contained in the directory where you build it. The complete build takes about 500 megabytes. But it includes all dependencies except for example, GCC, FlexPython, and Perl. But everything else is included. So you don't have to worry about, do you have the right version of GMP? Do you have the right version of something else? Yes?
Will it compile under SQL?
It did for a long time. I haven't tried recently. We did support that for a long time. I don't think it's a good idea. It's much better to use Co-Linux or VMware. And the problem with Cygwin is that it's really Windows, and much of what Sage uses to talk to other programs, which is really a key, crucial part of Sage, is its ability to talk to other programs, involves pseudo-TTYs. And Windows does not support pseudo-TTYs very well. It works, but it's kind of a miracle that it's working. And actually, Sage running under Co-Linux under Windows is much faster than running natively under Cygwin often, so there's really no good reason to use Cygwin, except that,
what's Co-Linux?
Co-Linux. So you know how you can port Linux to run on a Palm Pilot or a watch or whatever. You can also port Linux to run as a program under Windows, and that's what Co-Linux is. It's a port of the Linux kernel to run as a program under Windows. It runs as a normal Windows application. It runs Linux as a normal Windows application. It's kind of neat. It's like a 20 meg download or something. It's open source GPL program. So you could. Yes?
If I were to run Sage on a proper Linux machine,
yes,
versus Windows machine with Co-Linux,
yeah,
what is the difference in
I think it's something like 30%. It depends on the computation. It depends on the computation. There's definitely some slowdown.
So yeah. You could distribute Sage in the Co-Linux.
If you go to the Sage website, you'll discover that I distribute Sage as a Co-Linux binary. In fact, here it is.
Brilliant.
And this is an automated Windows installer. You just download it, you run it, and it installs it. And this is what Gary Zablakis, the high school person I told you about earlier, does. He uploads these on a regular basis. And we had some issue of some professor at UW had too old of a machine, so now we're building binaries that are, we'll work on Pentium 2. So yeah, it's a completely automated installer.
I don't know. It's a forgotten machine. All right, so here's a quick history of how I got from being a grad student to right now, software-wise.
So I spent a couple of years in grad school writing a huge, massive C++ code, which was this program called Hecate, a free program that I wrote for computing with modular forms and modular symbols and so on. And I even wrote a little mini interpreter for it and so on. And certain people from Magna, namely David Cole and Alan Steele, convinced me it was a very bad idea to be writing my own interpreter and optimizing and implementing tons of linear algebra, which they had done both of those things pretty well. But that didn't convince me. I really desperately needed to compute Tamagawa numbers of modular abelian varieties. I won't tell you what that means, but there was only one implementation. In fact, even today, there's only one implementation of a certain algorithm for doing arithmetic in quaternion algebras, which is absolutely crucial to that computation. So, and that implementation's only in Magma. So I had to use Magma for that computation, and I desperately needed to do a lot of computations along those lines for papers I was writing. So I ended up I ended up learning Magma for that reason, and then I visited Sydney 3 times and wrote a large amount of code in Magma. And I guess I wasn't the only one, because at least in arithmetic geometry, I think that Magma totally dominates the field. I don't know if that's the case in algebraic geometry. My impression is it's not. Bigger thinks Magma totally dominates algebraic geometry. So that's not the case for you guys. But in arithmetic geometry, so number theory, cryptography type stuff, it's just so much faster, and it's what the grad students and postdocs implement their stuff in. Very often they get hired, they go down to Sydney for a while, and they implement things. So that was the case, and I really had to use it for my research. So I read a lot of papers, all of which depend on it. Then I got job offers with tenure, and suddenly I thought, wait a minute, I don't have to write papers as quickly as possible. Maybe I can stop and think for a minute. And I thought maybe I could write something that at least is independent of Magma, so I can independently verify computations that I do. And also, one of the reasons I wrote a lot of the software I put in Magma was because I wanted grad students and people to have access to computing with modular forms. And they didn't, because Magma is kind of expensive. So very often people write to me and say they'd like to use Magma, but they can't because they can't afford it, or they can't figure out how to buy it or whatever. So it was really just a little frustrating. I mean, I just didn't think about that when I'd written everything. So in any case, I got started on Sage, and then a year later I ran a workshop. I didn't have any idea what the response to my workshop would be, but it was very positive, and a lot of people kind of jumped on board and started helping with Sage development. I had some help before the workshop, but a lot more people got into it. Then I did a very unusual thing, is I used Sage for a 2-week high school workshop on the congruent number problem, which is a question related to the Virchow-Sorensen-Bayer conjecture. And for that workshop, these were high school kids, and they wanted, what do high school kids like to do? One, they don't want to lose their work, so they don't like the command line, because it just goes flying by and they lost it. And I learned that actually from, that's a fact. They also really love drawing pretty pictures and graphics, and they also like to be able to look at what other students are doing. So me and two undergrads designed this notebook, which is what I showed you a few minutes ago, right at the beginning of the talk, which is a graphical interface to Sage that can be used over the internet. So what happened at the workshop was each of the students had their own notebook, but they could look at everybody else's notebooks just by pointing their web browser at the right address. You can draw lots of nice graphics using the notebook, and you don't lose your work. Whenever you exit the notebook or just close your web browser, the pages stay as they were. So it saves everything every time or every few seconds. So this worked very well for the workshop. They found a lot of bugs. For a while, we had the daily try to crash the notebook thing, and then they couldn't after a while. So it was really interesting, some of the bugs they found. Like one student, he tried to iterate factorial of 5,000. So he wrote factorial, factorial, factorial of 5,000. And he got 0. And it turned out it was some overflow error in how I had wrapped the GMP factorial function. But high school students can find interesting errors that you never think to look for.
By the way, that student had the unlikely name of Berkeley Churchill.
So I hope he comes to UW. It was like a workshop for local high school kids. Then I had a workshop 2 weeks ago, which I told you about. And now Sage is at version 1.4. It has a pretty wide range of functionality. There's the math polyglot thing. Is that you? And Sage could do the problems that were listed there,
every single one, which demonstrates that you can do a lot in Sage. So that's the background. Here's an example just illustrating kind of educational things.
So there's a function that I did not show you here that I wrote, which is some lines of Python that can do graphing. What you do is you input a number, and then you get a nice picture like that.
So actually, I'll show you this in real time. So I'm going to start a copy of the Sage notebook. Okay, here it is. And I'll bring up the one that has the integer factorization stuff. It's also nice because you get to use a web browser to interact with your software, which is probably the single program that you're most comfortable using, and that's either Emacs or a web browser. But nowadays, at least for undergraduates, they all use web browsers. So here's some code, which I'll show you. So this is Python code, and this...
what it does is it takes an integer as input and then draws a nice factor tree. And the reason I wrote this was for a book I'm writing with Barry Mazur.
But in any case, it's kind of fun. You enter a number, and it in some random way will draw the factor tree that you get. So there's the factor tree for 20,000. So, I mean, it's not really serious advanced math, but it's really fun. Each time it chooses randomly. I didn't even worry about systematically enumerating all of them, though I probably should. Oh. Not sure why it didn't. Well, I don't want to mess with this too much because I forget. But see it. You enter a number, even a very large number, and it'll, draw the factor tree. So you can see how having graphics... By the way, the way it works is that... Yeah, well, I would have to change the resolution or the font size because it's big. I can change the font size. So what happens here is that...
this input cell gets evaluated. It produces an image as a side effect, and that image is then embedded in the notebook. Any program you write that produces an image as a side effect will get automatically embedded in the notebook.
So even if you know nothing about weird protocols for embedding images in some graphical user interface,
you can just immediately start making things that produce graphics in there,
which people are very pleased with, actually. And the design for doing that was something that was suggested by an undergrad, Tom Boothby. Okay, so back to the talk. What is Sage?
Now I'm just going to try to answer that question. Sage is three distinct things. One, it's a distribution of free open source math software. That's the tarball I showed you before, that you can download it and build, or the binary executable for Windows, and there's also a binary for Linux and a binary for OS X. And it's something, I'm personally using OS X on my laptop mainly to make sure that Sage works really well on OS X. For example, just an illustration of this, before I used OS X on my laptop, I was content with GMP not compiling with assembly optimizations for Intel OS X. But then I switched to using OS X on my laptop, and suddenly I realized it was a little frustrating that integer arithmetic was 4 times slower than it was on the same laptop under Linux. So then I spent a day and figured out how to fix that. And so now it's fast, at least if you get the GMP that's included in Sage. And somebody, Jason Martin, I think, did something similar for the Xeon OS X machines, which will be included in Sage shortly. Oops. So what Sage is that distribution, which is something that's in and of itself, I think, an interesting thing to do. It's really useful. And not only is there stuff that's included in the tarball, there are also optional packages. For example, Dan helped a huge amount with making a Macaulay 2 optional package that you can build from source. So now if you download Sage and build it from source, then, or possibly just a binary, you can type sage-i Macaulay 2, and it will download the Macaulay 2 tarball and build it from source, and it will work. Which, if you tried to build Macaulay 2 before, may or may not have been the case. But it has all the dependencies, everything's there in the Macaulay 2 package. So if you want to build Macaulay 2, it should now be a completely trivial task for anybody, rather than possibly being difficult. I think the same should be the case for a lot of other software as time progresses. The second part of Sage is a huge chunk of new readable code. There's a lot of gaps in functionality and a lot of code that needs to be written to go from having a whole bunch of stuff together to having a whole bunch of stuff that you can easily use from one command line. And for example, with the Canopic stuff, you guys have to work really hard to get a bunch of stuff together, but maybe you aren't working so hard as far as writing new code to make it all work together. And that's what this part is about. And this is really the part where the most effort is going. Because there are also a lot of gaps in functionality, especially in my research area, arithmetic geometry. The gaps in functionality are actually kind of depressing. For example, function field arithmetic. It's just, magma is the only thing that can do it, and nothing else can do anything. That's what it kind of distributes. Because you know, if you do a calculation in only one place, you'd like to verify it somewhere else. And it's not easy to port stuff out of magma because it's closed source. So there's a lot of reverse engineering work that's difficult. But the third thing that Sage provides is a unified interface to all these other programs. I haven't showed you anything about that yet, so now I will.
So, let's see. I'll show. Oh, please. Yes?
How can one choose in Sage, for instance, if you have the choice between a whole field and a singular, both Sage having
okay.
The same kind of
Let me show you an example. That's a great question. Let's see. Okay, here's an example. Let me make sure that this is big enough that everyone can see it. So right here I've defined the ring R and an ideal I, and then I'm going to compute the Grubner basis, right? If you start calling a function and you just hit the tab key, it gives you like a pop-up help on the function. And it tells you what the inputs are.
And this particular function, the inputs are algorithm. There's only one input, the algorithm. And it's a string, and you can get any of these. So each of the different singular algorithms for Grubner bases, Macaulay Q's Grubner bases, if you have Macaulay Q installed anywhere in your system, if the M2 command's available. And magma, if you have magma available. You can compare the answers. You can compare the timings. Sage is an amazingly good tool just for benchmarking a whole bunch of programs together, because you can do it all in one place. You can write one Sage script, and it will allow you to benchmark these and compare answers. So it unifies things very naturally by its design.
I'll finish the example. So right then when I did that, what happened was it fired up a copy of Singular. And Singular, since that's the default, since it's included in Sage,
Singular seems to have the fastest free Grubner basis calculations. One of the Sage developers, Martin Albrecht, did a bunch of benchmarks recently. It was kind of magma completely killing everybody else, and then Singular, and then Macaulay too. And hopefully, but we'll see.
He gave a nice talk. You can look at it on the Sage Days website, where he draws all kinds of plots. And I think it's very depending on the particular problem. And perhaps there are problems with versions that we're using and stuff. So just continuing the example, actually, as for the Grubner fan associated to the ideal, how many people here have heard of GFAN? How many people here wrote GFAN? Okay, cool. Nice to meet you. So GFAN, as you know, is a command line program, and you don't kind of interactively use it from a computer algebra system, but now you can. And here, for example, G here is the Grubner fan of I, and it prints as Grubner fan of the ideal. And you can ask for the reduced Grubner bases and then ask how many there are. And you can also print them out, and there they are. And it, you know, it's kind of big, so you can put on one line so you can look out. You can toggle whether word wrap is on or off or whether the cell's hidden. But there are 33 fans. And you can also, if you do show of something, it'll LaTeX typeset it.
A nice typeset version. It's actually not using LaTeX at all here. It's using JavaScript. There's a complete implementation of LaTeX math typesetting engine in JavaScript that's included with Sage. It's called JSMath. I didn't write it, thank God. It's really hard. But somebody actually went through, wrote thousands and thousands of lines. They went through the tech book and implemented the whole thing right in JavaScript, which makes sense. I mean, the web browser is the thing that's supposed to do it. And if you install the tech fonts, you get a perfect tech output that scales and so on in your web browser. It's very cool. So this shows this. One thing you'll notice is that the variables are named whatever I want. In this case, X, Y, Z. They don't have to be A, B, C, D, E, F, G like they are in your version. So I internally map between whatever variable names you want to A, B, C, D, and so on. That works fine. So
perfectly fine that you implemented it so the variables had to be A, B, C, D, because it's easy to translate back and forth. So that's just a little demo. All right. Yes. It's on the to-do list. Maybe even this week. If somebody wants to help. If anyone here knows how to code well, I would love to talk to you. Like if you wrote Kakoa, for example. So help me make a Sage interface to Kokai. It doesn't take long to make a basic interface. So by interface, by the way, I mean the following. I actually really haven't shown you an interface. Let me just... you can directly interact with any of the computer algebra systems that Sage has interfaces to, as illustrated here. And after talking to Dan and Mike last night, I changed some of the output printing formatting for McClunky. So if you try this in the current version, it will look a little different. I had a misunderstanding. Well, whoever, I didn't write the McClunky 2 interface. Yvonne Kibaya did, but there are better ways of doing things. In any case, see, you say Macaulay 2 of a string. What it does is it takes that string, it sends to Macaulay 2 the command sage 0 equals zzxyz, and that gets executed in Macaulay 2, and this R is a Python class with a pointer to the variable name sage 0 and the instance of Macaulay 2 that you're running in. You can run many, you can have a whole bunch of instances of Macaulay 2 being scripted by a copy of sage. They could actually be running in parallel, so you can do neat parallel, they could be running on other machines. Oh, you have some. I have a student working part time on distributed stuff, kind of like the GIMP thing, but for Sage. So that'll be something that'll be neat in the future. But you just create objects, and it works the same in all the other systems. But there are lots of neat things like tab completion, where all the functions that are that you can call on a given object that IPython has and Sage has. The Macaulay 2, the interface doesn't have that. The only reason is because I hadn't seen Dan Grayson's talk from this morning, in which he explained how you do that. So now I could add that easily.
How do you do what?
Make it so, get a list of all the functions you can call on a given object. I didn't know how to do that, but you just explained it. So similarly with Cocoa, I would need to know information about like that in order to make a nice interface. With Magma, on the other hand, I do have. So if you say Magma of, say, elliptic, since I know Magma pretty well, I can pretty much do what I want there. So what's happening right now is a copy of Magma is being fired up on my OS X Intel machine, which means it's running under Rosetta emulation. Which means it's really slow, but and it's a very old version. But I can then say e.tab, and it looks up. What it does is it lists all Magma functions that take an elliptic curve as the first argument, which is kind of cool. So I can say, for example, bad places. And then if I do that, it'll give me the help in Magma, just the help that's relevant to this particular type. So it's actually a much better help system than Magma itself has. It uses the Magma help system and parses out the relevant information instead of having millions of things fly by on the screen. So I guess I can just do that. And it failed, because the argument type is not right. So apparently bad places probably applies to a scheme or something. But I can do other things that will work, like conductor. Let's see. Say conductor 10351. So there you are. Okay, there's also I don't want to show too many things. So that's how the interfaces work. And to write a basic interface that doesn't have lots and lots of cool stuff like tab completion and help doesn't take that long. I wrote the MATLAB one in about 4 hours, and even with lots of examples. So just the basic interface doesn't take long. The reason is because the interfaces work as follows. They set up a pseudo TTY with buffering between Sage and the other process, and they send commands that way. If you want to send some huge thing, it writes it to a file and then loads it into the other program. And that's pretty much it. And it means that you can write interfaces to extremely anything that has a command line interface. So it basically Sage talks to other programs in the way that the other program was designed to talk to other people. So it's extremely general. Almost all the interfaces work the same way. There's a base class, and then there are classes that derive that give special functionality.
So now that you've called Magma once,
now there's
an instance of Magma running.
Yep, and we could see it. Maybe it's percent bash. I forget how to do it. There's all these things. No, it's not percent, it's percent. I mean, it's percent, like I'm saying. So if I do percent sh, then the rest of the input block
gets passed directly to the shell, which is kind of fun. And you can see there's my magnet instance that's running. And it stays running, and you're interacting with that one. And you could start, you could say, if you say,
If you say M equals magma, you get another instance of magma. Actually, it doesn't start up until you do something with it. But let's do a very difficult computation. And now if we do this PS again, you'll see that there are two copies of magma running.
Yes?
So, you have an elliptic curve with three digits of magma.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if this... I don't think this is... You could do... the way it would work, if it were implemented, would be, you'd say, elliptic curve E to get it into SAGE. Currently, I think what you'll have to do is probably E dot A. I mean, this is how I would implement that. Let's see. I need to do string of that. So that gives me the elliptic curve in SAGE. So I'll call that E SAGE. Now, that should be just E elliptic curve of E, but since I probably haven't implemented that, I'm not going to risk it. And if I say GP of E SAGE, I'll call it E GP, then I get the GP version of it. And there you are.
So E is just a magma object rather than an elliptic
curve? Right here?
Yeah, that E.
That E is, in Python, from the SAGE point of view, it's an element of magma. But of course, magma knows everything about it, and magma is the one that should. Namely, if you say type, for example, magma knows it's a curvel. But I don't set up a shadow class hierarchy in Python to sort of shadow the entire magma hierarchy. I mean, because I don't want to, that would be way too much work.
So curvel is just a name. As far as Python is concerned.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So basically, I can make every computer algebra system. Sage can talk to and work very reasonably with every computer algebra system, and I don't have to know anything about the underlying structure except in particular problem domains. And when I really need to do something, I can always get the string representation and parse and use that Python has an eval command, and it also has extremely good string processing. And done. I mean, you don't need this whole open math stuff. Okay, so let's see. Please. No, there are. So,
there are objects that come from other algebra systems here. There's a huge amount of code, about 100,000 lines, of 150,000 lines, I guess, of code that defines new objects. So, for example, I spent a lot of time recently implementing optimized exact linear algebra for SAGE. That's been the main project recently.
Yes, exactly.
Because there's a lot of gaps in functionality when you put it all together. And some things, optimized exact linear algebra for dense matrices just totally sucks in the open source world compared to magma. Magma is vastly faster than absolutely anything that the open source world has produced, unfortunately. So we're trying to fix that. Let's see, this is just some of the components of SAGE. We really try to hit all the bases. So there's arithmetic, there's nice command line, group theory, SAGE includes GAP, has twisted for networking, numerical computation, the GNU scientific library, has a lot of symbolic computation, it has maxima included. So you can use SAGE in your calculus class, as illustrated right here. So let's say you want to integrate cos x squared over 3. So first you can compute it, and then you can integrate it, and in some programs you might get that, but in SAGE, if you put show, you get it nicely typeset, so your students could actually read it. And that's a pretty nasty integral. But, last time I taught calculus, I used SAGE a bunch. Okay, a very important thing I have to show you before I run out of time is that not only does the SAGE notebook provide a notebook for SAGE, you can start it up in Macaulay 2 mode or Magma mode or whatever. So I'll show you an example of each. So I just started up the notebook in Magma mode, and now it provides a GUI for Magma. So all commands are fed directly to Magma, and the notation is Magma. Anything you do in Magma, you do here, but you have a notebook. So there's now a nice GUI for Magma. So I'm doing calculations directly in Magma, computing generators of Mordell-Weil groups, computer space of modular forms, and so on. So this is actually kind of hard. And computed a basis of new forms. This is one of the things I implemented in Magma. And it's kind of hard to read because it scrolls around, but you can turn off word wrapping and it's a little bit nicer. And it even has tab completion. Like if you say modular, then it gives you the things that start that way. Whoops. So modular forms. I don't know if the... Yeah, the help even works, so you get the relevant help. So it's a GUI for Magma. And similarly, you can make a GUI for Macaulay too. See, these scripts are really simple. They just start Sage with a certain option. But anyways, go M2. Now here's a Macaulay 2 GUI. So actually, I was trying to follow along with Dan's talk, and see, I'm doing the same examples that you... What? Well, no, I kept getting lost. You're going too quickly for me. So, but you can see that it's, you know, it's just like using Macaulay 2, but you know, it's an alternative. It's another graph. It's another user interface to Macaulay 2, and it has the nice thing you can go back and, you know, insert new cells, could change what you've already put there, and it's just for free available to Macaulay 2 users. So, the numbers, the little tiny numbers right here are the cell numbers. The output numbers are what was output by Macaulay 2 when that command was read. Yes. No, it doesn't. The numbers are, the cell numbers are mainly just to refer to them, and so if there are numbers there, they're not something that you, they're kind of light gray. They're not something that you should try to worry too much about the ordering. Oh, yeah. No, it's just exactly as if you had entered this into Macaulay 2, in the order. If you wanted the linear history, and one of the biggest complaints about notebooks when I interviewed a number of mathematicians about Mathematica's notebook is it's difficult to keep track of the order in which things actually happened. A command line can do that because you just see the history. In Sage, there's a history button which gives you the history. So that's the worksheet that had that input, when it happened, and what, you know, what the IO was. So this gives you at least as much as the command line. Plus, if something crashes or something goes really weird, the notebook wasn't, your web browser didn't crash, so you still have everything that you did, which is really nice.
And the JS
map? It's certainly possible. We might have to write a little code, but as long as you have a LaTeX output, that's what's needed. Then yeah, definitely. Okay, is there anything else that I want to tell you? Let's see, do I have any time left, or like 2 minutes, or no?
Really.
Okay. All right, then let me flash my final slide. Questions? Yes. Let me give a quick answer to that. Let's take an example algorithm. For example, it's often in the source code, but whoops, very good point. I don't want to be in the Macaulay 2 one. Let me try to answer that question. So by actually using the Sage one. So remember a minute ago that when you hit tab, you could get the help for something. If I say E equals elliptic curve, just to give you one example, I actually didn't implement this, but if I say E dot division polynomial, I can get the help on it. If I put double question mark and hit return, I get the exact source code. And there it is. I mean, that's the source code that implements division polynomial right here. And Python, it's a fact that the Python is very readable compared to most systems. A lot of people don't like writing it because it's so readable, but I know for a fact it's readable because I wrote a huge amount and I put it out there, and people have been sending me back patches and adding functionality that shows that they really understand what's going on at a pretty deep level. So it's just a demonstrable fact that the Python code in Sage is, for the most part, pretty readable.
Does indentation have a syntactical meaning?
Yes.
White spaces are...
Yeah. The fact, if n equals 2 colon, that means that you'll never be misled by the indentation. If it's intended that way, that's what it means in the program. It's not like C where somebody could fake you out by indenting it correctly.
Okay.
So,
that's a just to
yeah. In fact, I didn't write this. David Harvey wrote it. He just sent it to me. And actually, so I wrote something. I wrote a bunch of elliptic curves things. David Cole wrote a division polynomial thing, but it wasn't good enough for David Harvey, so David Harvey modified it, and that's what this is. And that just illustrates very much how, you know, one person uses division polynomial, isn't good enough, hit double question mark, they see the source code, they modify a few things in there or improve it, they type one command at the Sage prompt, it makes a little patch that they can send me, and they send it to me, and now it's in Sage. And There you are. So any other questions? Yeah.
I was wondering about downloading. See, you make all these images of the factory trees or whatever.
Yes.
How do you get that into a LaTeX document?
Okay, there's a couple of answers to that question. So I guess this notebook won't be alive anymore, because I... Okay, so here's an example. First, it's a PNG file, as it is here. So you could save it and embed it in using LaTeX to PDF. Alternatively, you could save... because I have no time at all, let me do it with something simpler. Plots the sine function. You can also save in various formats. Like you can say save a.eps. There are renderers for EPS. It gives you a link, and then you can click on the link, and it will download the EPS. So it gives you EPS. It also will give you, in many cases, direct PDF rendering, but there are... Oh, actually, this wasn't implemented for this version, but anyways, you can save in PNG, and then it just displays it, and you can save it, or you can do EPS. So depending whether you're a LaTeX to PDF person or... just straight LaTeX. You get one or the other. So, but I think the best answer to your question is EPS. And the back end that decides whether it's PNG or EPS is something I didn't write. It's part of something called Matplotlib, which the applied mathematicians have been developing for many years, and it's a graphics package for Python. And we've built a bunch of... The thing with Matplotlib is that the graphing stuff is very MATLAB-like, and it's really crappy for a lot of things I like to do. For example, you couldn't give it a function. It doesn't have any sampling of the function and plotting type stuff. So I had a student write a Mathematica-like interface to Matplotlib, and that's what you have here. But the back end can save in various formats. And also even SVG, which is kind of amusing. Okay, any other questions? Yeah, sorry. Yes?
SVG.
That's too hard.
I want to convert a matrix from Macaulay 2 to Gap. What I would do is convert it from Macaulay 2 to Sage matrix, and then from Sage 2 to Gap. So the common representation would be the Sage object, if there happens to be somebody who's implemented something that can convert Macaulay 2 matrices to Sage matrices. Otherwise, you can get the string representation of the Macaulay 2 matrix. You know Gap, so you can make the Gap version, and Sage has very good string parsing. So you can go that way. So basically, you can do anything if you're willing to put a little time into string, to thinking about string parsing. And in some cases, things are already implemented. But I don't make any requirements that, for example, Macaulay 2 has some output format of matrices that is, you know, Sage's output format, because it's just not going to work. But you can get work done now, today. Yeah, there's a whole Sage matrix hierarchy. There's a huge amount of code. And like matrices over the rationals are implemented using GMP directly in C, or in a compiled language. So.
What's that all about?
There's about 70% Python and 30% Pyrex. Pyrex is a language that produces C, kind of like your D produces C, I guess. Maybe not exactly like that, but Pyrex looks kind of like Python. You write it, and you get really, really fast code that can call C libraries and gets compiled using a C compiler. And it's impossible to write a computer algebra system in Python. That would be crazy. C and ZMath, for an example. We learn a lot from them, but you have to, a lot of basic arithmetic has to be written in a compiled language. So, yeah, a lot of it's compiled, probably 30%.
I see, but it's all in Pyrex.
Yes. Almost all. Little C, but mostly Pyrex. So it's very readable still. Any other questions before I get...
Well,
you can just ask me questions at lunch.
Yeah, right. So at lunch, and also, in the installation, but the only thing is that we're meeting again at 1:40. So
where at 1:40?
Here. 1:40 here. And as far as lunch goes, a bunch of people here know where the places are. There's a cafeteria style dial thing that has it's across the way and anyway, someone else can say that. And then there's a bunch of other places to the left.
One more question. question to you. I downloaded Sage recently. I got the Sage, you know, the command line, which is very nice. But to get the notebook, I find somewhere this Go Sage.
No, it's very simple. You just go, when you're in Sage,
yes.
Very cryptic command, notebook.
Oh, notebook.
Yeah, you just call it. If you say question mark, it'll tell you all about how to use
it. And that will fire essentially
just like that. And it makes a directory, and the current directory fires up a notebook, and it gives you a message, open your web browser here. And that's it. And you can start it up as a server on a computer with a password and all kinds of things.
No, I didn't know how you...
Yeah, you I forgot to say. Yeah, that little script was just running Sage notebook. Yeah. Hey.
It's incredible. This is my dream.
Cool.
A couple of years ago, I dreamt someone should do this, and you're doing it.
So what's your name? Sorry.
I'm Alice Gerstein. I'm from Argentina. And for me, so I will be here. My problem is that I don't speak C++.
Yeah, Sage has zero C++.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I don't program myself. This is the question. Uh-huh. So for me, it's very hard to use. For instance, in my quality tool, now I'm trying to understand. I just wanted to understand how to compute grammar, formal, modular grammar traces, just reduce. It's impossible to find the integration.
Could you meet with me and we'll fix the documentation together?
Yes.
Because I want...
Tell me when.
Well, I don't know when the open time is. But so right now, for lunch, I'm doing something else. But otherwise, I don't have any appointments. So, let's look at the documentation.
I got through everything I wanted to say. So.
We can spend half an hour doing
it. Hi. So we're going to make a Cocoa interface? So we're going to make a Cocoa interface?
So, I don't know, many of you. How about this afternoon?
Yeah, sure.
After the last thing.
Yeah, okay.
This afternoon, after the last thing, we sit down at a table for half an hour, and we just make it work for you. Because I want people to be able to find the documentation. And you know, now I'm ready to really get the documentation.
Basically, I just need to. I need to make a whatever I would certainly love to.
It's probably, I think it's third
year. Yeah, I want to meet him.
He's really good at the computer.
Okay.